Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benning speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr. This is the second of three episodes that will be written in a row by Kathleen Height. I thought last week's was interesting in that last week's episode felt like it could completely be an episode of Gunsmoke. And you can even imagine the characters being involved in the whole thing. So I have a feeling that she may have written it for Gunsmoke, and then they decided not to use it, but then they remembered it for Fort Laramie, or she just decided to just change it a little bit to make it fit Fort Laramie. There would be a few episodes of Fort Laramie over time that she would write that would be used on Gunsmoke. At least, I think, three or four of the episodes end up showing up on Gunsmoke, the radio show, in 1960. Then they took some of those scripts and, two of those scripts, and put them on as part of the half-hour Gunsmoke episodes, which would have been right after they're written. They had to take them almost immediately from radio and put them into television because Gunsmoke wouldn't be a half-hour show much longer. Anyway, so when they put her two scripts into Gunsmoke, the television show, John Meston adapted them for the television show. He adapted or wrote most of the episodes that will be on Gunsmoke, most of the half-hour episodes anyway, which I find understandable that he would do that. But the piece I don't get 100% is she would end up not writing any episodes for the Gunsmoke TV show directly, but she would adapt four of John Meston's radio show scripts for television. And it's interesting that she would adapt his scripts and he would adapt her scripts. Maybe they wanted like more than one head on the project, more than one point of view. And so that's why they each did each other's scripts that they would adapt. I'm not sure. But I just think it's interesting that if you're going to have her work anyway, you would think you would have had her adapt her own scripts and Meston adapt his own scripts for television. But anyway, this episode is a complex episode with a lot more going on. Definitely not an episode that you could have done very well on Gunsmoke. It would have seemed out of place. And has a nice twist at the end that you're not really expecting. So just an enjoyable episode all the way around. A few of these episodes last week's and this one to some extent are a little more racially insensitive than maybe we're used to, but you have to remember the time frame that these were written. Anyway, without further ado, here is the next episode of Fort Laramie. Enjoy. And thank you, Kathleen Height, for writing it.
At the gallop! Ho!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
He alive, Harrison?
No, Saeed.
Move him back with the others.
In the name of heaven, Captain, how could he be alive? Look at him.
Move him back, Harrison. Lieutenant Syberts is directing the grave detail. Now give him a hand.
We're going to bury them all?
It's the least we can do.
I can't do it, Captain Quince. I can't. I'm all hot and cold in my belly. I just can't look at any more of this.
You get a firm grip on that belly of yours, Harrison. This kind of cleanup's got to be done. Now, don't look, don't think, just do your work.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'll do that.
I'm on my fifth, Captain.
All right, Hook.
Two of them was old ladies. I figured they was too old for travel anyway.
See, those graves are cairned.
Lieutenant's seeing to that, Captain. All I gotta do is dig them. Count 12 wagons burning. Them engines don't leave nothing to chance.
No, not much.
They shoot them full of arrows, full of lead, then hack them up. For good measure, they set fire to them.
Better get back to work, Hook.
You're a sight safer in the army than in one of them wagon trains, ain't you, Captain?
Sometimes, Hook. Sometimes.
Captain Quince.
Yeah?
Maybe you ought to speak to the lieutenant.
How's that?
He's fair carried away with all his burying stuff. I declare he'll be laying the dead stock to rest next, so as he can speak words over them.
That all, Hook?
You ought to take a look, Captain. I think it's real touching.
Thinking's not any part of you, Hook, any more than feeling is. I don't want to see that spade of yours stop the next 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince, over here.
This one's still alive.
He conscious?
I just come on him. I heard him.
Mister?
Sioux. Hundreds of Sioux.
Must have raided from the south, Hazen. If it was Sioux.
I gave the major that report. They've been building up to something for months now.
Mister. How many people in your train, mister? We counted 12 wagons.
We hit 52. And they took...
Only 50 bodies, Captain. Lieutenant Syberts and I just took count.
You sure, Hazen?
No.
Yes, sir. 49 dead and this one.
No. Beasley. It took the Beasley girls. It took...
Make that 50 dead, Hazen.
Yeah. You going after him?
With 20 men... No, we'll be another couple of hours here, and it'll still take us 3 more to get back to the fort.
Them girls, that's... Well, dying's easier, Captain.
You telling me something I don't know, Hazen? Yeah, I'll go after them when I stand a chance of getting them. Meantime, you pick up the trail.
Yes, sir. I ought to come on the Sioux camp before night. If I do, I'll make it back to the fort by daylight.
I'm going after them at sunup, whether you're back or not.
Suppose you had the company with you, then what?
We'd have finished our burying a little earlier, Major.
That's all?
That's all.
Captain, I have to make a report to Washington. I'd like to make it look as if the Army meant something out here. So far, I can tell them that a patrol of 20 men arrived in time to bury the members of an entire wagon train.
Would it make your report read any better if you told them a whole company arrived in time to bury them, Major?
I'm not interested in your impertinence, Captain.
I'm not interested in your report, sir.
All right. Look, I know you don't think much of paperwork, Lee. Reports to Washington, all this. But the point is, it all has to be done, whether you like it or not.
My point is, we'd have been just as late with 80 men as we were with 20. You'd still have to report 50 dead and 2 missing.
I don't like to think about those young women.
Somebody better think about them.
You've seen what... Well, you know the savagery they're bound to endure. How soon can you leave, Captain?
At dawn, whether Hazen's back or not.
You sent him on ahead?
He's been scouting the Sioux territory for the last few months. If they've gone back south, we'll find them.
I suppose you'll want the company this time.
I'd want more than one company if I intended to go after him.
There's only one company available, Captain.
Major, I'd like to bargain with them.
Bargain? After a massacre like this?
Yes, sir. If we don't have the men to fight it out with them.
What kind of bargain?
Big Elk. Big Elk for the young women.
I don't know. He wasn't easily captured, Quince.
I know. I brought him in.
He's not doing us much good lying around the stockade. I suppose the Sioux consider him valuable enough to trade for him.
He's a chief.
What if Hazen isn't back by morning? If you expect to find those young women alive, you can't wait much longer.
We may pick Hazen up on the trail, but Big Elk can lead us to the camp.
Yeah, but will he?
To get out of the stockade? Yeah, he'll lead us. You'll understand he's not free till he does.
You better talk to him, Quince. Report back to me tonight.
I'd like to leave at sunup, sir.
If we're satisfied that Big Elk's our best chance, you'll pass the head of your column through the main gates half an hour before Reveille tomorrow morning.
Right, sir. You men be better off in your bunks.
Try kill me.
I will. I get a chance.
Something on your mind, Hook?
He's just tormenting him, Captain. Big Elk asked for a drink. Hook here gave him some bilge water. But it wouldn't have killed him.
Just made him good and sick like he makes me.
You're to leave him alone, Hook.
Hey, let them white women alone, Captain. Not one of them Injuns is leaving them be.
You're all hard, aren't you, Hook? Now get back to your quarters, all of you. We're going after the women before Reveille.
Tattoo ain't sounded yet, Captain.
What did you say, Trooper?
Nothing, sir. Come on.
Here you are. Here, you can drink this, Big Elk.
White man, no friend. Try kill me.
I could have killed you 2 months ago. I brought you here instead. Now go on, drink it. It's from my own canteen.
Good water. Good water. Put out fire and belly.
Your people still hold big camp on Lodgepole Creek?
Big Elk no see people many moon. But brother white man only. White man, no brother, Big Elk.
The hunting's still good along Lodge Pole. Good grass, good water. Why would they move camp?
Not know.
If we let you go, Big Elk, you could find your people.
Big Elk, big coup for white man. White man, no let Big Elk go.
Well, if you couldn't find your way back... No sense talking to you.
Hey.
Why? You don't know where your people are.
Why you let Big Elk go?
A fair trade. You lead us to the Sioux camp. We'll trade you to your tribe... For the white women they have.
No trade.
Your people don't think much of you, do they?
Big Elk hold high honor in tribe. All Sioux proud warrior, hunter, leader, Big Elk.
Then why won't they trade?
White man no trade Big Elk for white woman.
That's just where you're wrong. White men go pretty high on their women folk.
Captain, you play trick?
No trick. You have my word.
No trick. Then Big Elk, give word. will lead to Sioux camp.
You still put a lot of store in that captain of yours, Harrison? You still think he knows all there is that's right?
Captain Quince knows what he's about. You see he does.
Kind of gnaws at your innards, though, don't it? Him plain eating out of that Injun's hand.
You're just trying to rile me, Hook. And I ain't giving you the satisfaction.
Look at him, Harrison. The Injun pokes his head to the right, we move to the right. Same with the left. He'd poke his head straight up, your old Captain Quince. He'd have us climb in the air.
You'd best keep your face shut, Hook. I swear you keep me no telling what I'll do.
You'll do like you're told. No more. That captain would tell you to do anything at all. You'd bust yourself doing it. You're gonna grow up licking boots all the way?
I ain't snapping at your bait no more. You can talk all you like, I just ain't listening. I'm just riding along here, and I don't even know no dumb trooper named Hook.
Ain't just me talking, bootlicker. It don't set well with a single white man riding in this column being led around by no Injun. You giving any thought to them white women, Harrison? You ever seen one once a bunch of Injuns got through with her?
Well, we're doing a decent thing, ain't we? We're going after them.
No, we ain't. We're just out riding around, Harrison, following an Injun wherever he means to take us. Like as not, he's leading us into an ambush right this minute.
I ain't listening to you again, Hook. Ain't hearing a word you say.
I tell you one thing, bootlicker. That's a dead Injun up there. He don't know it yet, but he's just as dead as he can be.
Call halt!
Men, we're about an hour from Bear Creek. There's still daylight enough to see us there. We'll bivouac there for the night.
Rider coming this way, sir.
I know, Syberts. I think it's Hazen. The word on the Sioux camp.
Not meaning to make a camp here, are you, Captain?
Oh, we're heading to Bear Creek for the night.
That's more like it. With water there, grass, natural camp. You just a day out of Fort Laramie?
Left the post just at sunup.
Made good time.
Well, Big Elk's picking the trail.
Good job. You're right on the line of the Sioux camp. You leave Bear Creek at sunup, you'll make it to Lodge Pole Creek by mid-morning.
Fair enough.
You got reinforcements coming?
I'm riding in under a white flag. I plan to trade Big Elk for the white women.
Oh, might work. I got in awful close. Don't even think they got scouts out. Leastwise, I didn't see any.
Any sign of the women?
Not likely there would be. No, Captain, the Sioux were looking awful peaceful. For your sakes, I hope they are.
You sent for me, sir?
Yeah, sit down, Mr. Syberts.
Thank you, sir.
What's the talk among the men?
You know the men, Captain. Just camp talk.
Just camp talk?
That's all, sir.
Well, that's good. I had an idea maybe feeling was running a little high against Big Elk.
Well, it is. You know, men feeling the way they do about the Sioux capturing the white women, they're taking on with him a little.
What do you mean?
Well, Josh and him making threats, little things. Well, for example, he's half starving, I guess, and thirsty, of course.
So?
Well, they keep putting food and water just out of his reach.
And you stood there and let it happen, Mr. Syberts?
Well, sir...
Just camp talk, Mr. Syberts.
It's more my fault, Captain. You can't blame the men.
I can blame the men, and I can blame you. I gave my word.
Look out! He broke free! Pick it!
Hold your fire! Don't shoot any of you! Hold your fire!
Watch it, Captain. He's coming your way.
I go. White man, they try to kill me.
Now, nobody's going to kill you. Now, listen to me.
I won't let anyone harm you.
Your word no mean much. White man, no honor.
What do you know about honor?
Quiet! Quiet, all of you! Quiet! Now, listen to me. And understand me. I don't know what's behind all this, but for your sakes, I'm going to put it down to your feeling for the captured white women. All right, quiet! We'll add to that for now. But I'm not forgetting what happened here. Now use your heads. Big Elk's our best chance to get those women out of the Sioux camp safely. Maybe our only chance. I gave him my word there'd be no tricks. The stockade's waiting for the next man who abuses him. Any questions? Harrison?
Yes, sir?
See that there's water and warm food for Big Elk.
Right away, sir.
Now, any of you get any ideas, I'll be waiting for you. That's all. Dismissed. All right, Big Elk.
Captain Quince. I'm sorry, sir. I should have stopped all that.
Any man could have stopped it, Mr. Syberts.
But being an officer and all, I should have.
The Army saw fit to make you an officer, Mr. Syberts. Being a man's entirely up to you.
I just didn't...
That's all, Mr. Syberts.
Now, camp of my people in valley below. Big Elk, keep word.
Big Elk, if I had a home like that, I'd never leave it.
Red men first here. Then white man come with gun.
Yeah, I know. I'll take the flag, Mr. Syberts. You have your orders?
Yes, sir.
We'll ride in under your cover. There's to be no firing unless there's trouble. If I drop the white flag, that'll be your signal to open fire. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then pass the word. Big Elk and I are riding in.
Good luck, Captain.
You lead, Big Elk. No sign of your scouts yet.
My people expect no trouble.
There'll be no trouble.
Big Elk turned back on white men. Not safe. No trust.
I've kept my word, Big Elk. The rest is up to your chiefs.
No. Big Elk knows fear.
No, you're safe with me.
No. Big Elk, no trust. He's crazy.
You crazy fool, stop it! Stop! Stupid murdering swine. Move out! Move out to save your filthy hide!
It was Hook shot him, sir, before anyone could stop him.
He'll rot in the stockade for this. Stand a horse! Stand a horse! Lieutenant Seibert, move the company back immediately.
I know how you feel, Captain. But it's done. The man will be dealt with fully.
Major, it was the coldest kind of murder.
You're lucky you got out of there alive. Especially you. Right now, I'm thinking about those white women.
I don't think there's a chance they're alive now. The Sioux will take this out on somebody. And they're handiest.
We can't think about that. We're going after those women this time with every man in our command.
With at least 1,000 Sioux at Lodgepole Creek?
We'll do our best, Captain.
If Gorse had been with me, I'd have seen this since.
Sergeant Gorse was accompanying the first wagon train through.
I know that. It's my own stupidity.
Stupidity? Surely you're not blaming yourself.
For taking Hook on that patrol, you bet I am. I'm long enough in the Army to spot a troublemaker.
You're not thinking straight, Lee. I count on your judgment because it's cool and straight. You're no good to me in this turn of mine.
Major, my guts are crawling now. What do you want?
I want an officer with head enough to command Company B to engage the Sioux.
All right, sir. You got one. I'm all right.
Captain Matheson moved into the post yesterday with C Company. With Meade's infantry and howitzers, we should give you the cover you need.
I'm not used to this much support, Major. Might get lost in that crowd.
Your job is to get those women and get out. After your initial charge, the main fighting's up to C Company and the infantry.
Yes, sir. Get the women, bring them here.
Then you'll stand by as reinforcements for Matheson and Meade.
Right.
Yes?
Major?
Come in.
Captain?
Hazen?
We're going to need your help, Hazen.
Well, there's a chance you can surprise him. They're on the move.
Which way?
North and to the west. Where's your map?
Right here.
Yeah. This was their main camp at Lodge Fall.
Uh-huh.
Now, they moved along the valley where you were, Captain. Along the stream and then up to Horse Creek there. Then branched up to Bear Creek near Iron Mountain, right there.
We bivouacked there.
You were a little to the east, but no matter. They moved across to Chugwater along here, see? And followed along the Laramie Range there.
A whole lodgepole camp on the move?
All of them. But this is where I think you can get them, if it's still the Beasley girls you're after.
They're our first objective.
All right. The warriors, the main force of the tribe, they're well up front, moving ahead. They're not expecting any trouble from the rear. And so that's where they got their squaws and old folks and young'uns.
Yeah, likely the Beasley women are back there with them.
It's a near cinch.
Where are they now, in your judgment?
The natural camp spot's about there, on the Laramie River. Moving slow like they got to along that range, they should make camp there tonight. If it was me, I wouldn't wait for sunup to move in.
He's right, Major.
Can you have B Company ready to move out by dusk?
I can.
Pass the word, Captain. Report back in half an hour. Matheson and Meade will be here. We'll lay out a full plan.
Right, sir. Mr. Syberts?
Right here, Captain.
Men filed out in position?
Yes, sir. As ordered.
Harrison, move up.
Yes, sir.
Harrison, you'll flank me on the charge. We're going to bring those women out, you understand?
I sure do, sir.
Good.
Proud to.
Company!
Company! At the truck! Ho!
Captain?
They're running for cover, sir.
We stampeded their horses. They gotta take cover.
Meade's infantry. We're covered, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Syberts. Keep at them. Harrison, over here. This way. The lodges, over here.
There's a squaw, Captain.
I'll get her.
Squaw.
The white women, where are they?
No white woman. No kill squaw.
Now, where are they?
Lodge. There. All safe. No kill.
This way, Harrison. Well, sir. Harrison!
Captain Quince. It's them women. Them Beasley girls. Why, they can't be over 5-6 years old. Either one of them.
I know. Come on, Harrison. Let's get these women out of here.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Harry Bartell, Sam Edwards, Lawrence Dobkin, Lou Krugman, James Nusser, and Lillian Baev.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The groups which you support through Easter Seals duplicate the work of no other groups, yet there are more than 1,600 of them. These Easter Seal societies serve the many unmet needs of the crippled. This year, the national goal is $12 million. If your family has received a quota of seals in the mail, send your money in the return envelopes which came with the seals. Or if you wish to contribute directly, send your money to Crippled Children, care of your local post office. This has been a public service message from CBS Radio.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
This the marshal's office?
Yeah, come in, stranger.
You're Marshal Dillon?
I am.
My name's Egan, Marshal. Emmett Egan.
I'm glad to know you. It's Chester Proudfoot.
How do you do?
Hello.
The purpose of my visit may surprise you, Marshal.
Well, if it doesn't mean trouble, it sure will.
I've just deposited $50,000 in the bank here.
Huh?
That's a lot of money, Egan.
Well, it's taken me ever since the war to earn it. I've been up in Chicago, Marshal, running cattle auctions for a man named Swift, but I'm through with that now.
No?
I'm going to try something new. Marshal, I don't intend any insult, but if you need money, name your price.
I'm afraid I don't follow you, Egan.
I want your job.
What?
I want to be Marshal here.
All right, say it out, Egan.
I'm serious, Marshal. No tricks to this. I've been to Washington, and the War Department's endorsed my application, but they tell me there are no openings, so I came to Dodge. I thought if I can somehow persuade you to quit, maybe they'll put me on here.
I think you are serious.
Oh, I am. It's simple enough. I'm tired of the kind of work I was doing, and I want to try this. Something exciting.
Oh, I see.
What would you advise me to do, Marshal?
Go back to Chicago. You're a lot safer there.
Do you think I'm not qualified to be a lawman?
Well, you're wearing a gun.
Well, I'm accustomed to authority, Marshal. I was a major under General McClellan. Took my first bullet in the Chickahominy in 62.
I see. Is this your first trip to the frontier, Mr. Egan?
It's my first since 67.
Uh-huh. Well, I still advise you to go back to Chicago.
No, Marshal.
All right, Mr. Egan, you want this job so bad, you can have it, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, Mr. Dillon...
There's very little money in it, and absolutely no thanks. I've been a live target for every drunken bum and glory hunter in Kansas about long enough.
You mean it, Marshal?
Yeah. But on one condition.
Yeah?
That you hang around for a week. See what it's like. And then if you still want it...
Oh, I'll want it all right.
All right, then we'll start right now.
I'm ready. What do we do first?
You all set, Chester?
My. Yes, sir, I guess so.
All right, then follow me.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggart, really started something. Tonight, the Calypso Boys join in. Ready, amigos?
Packs more pleasure. Packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Why don't you sit down and rest a spell, Mr. Egan?
No, thanks.
You're going to wear yourself out walking up and down that way.
Yeah. You got a match, Chester.
Mm-hmm. Cigarette. Here.
Oh, thanks.
The dog sure ain't very lively today, is it?
Not very.
If I only had me a knife, I could do a little whittling.
Oh, what happened to your knife, Chester?
Well, it was about wore out, so I traded it to a small kid I know for a flipper.
Why don't you get yourself another one?
Mr. Dillon, I am so mean poor, I just couldn't stand the outlay of
another
knife.
Yeah, yeah.
I got.
Hey, look there. Somebody hadn't ought to be in town.
Oh, where? Who?
That fella coming up the street, riding that sway back to old Broodmare. See him?
He looks like a farmer.
If you call a man whose wife hoes a 10-yard patch of mealy potatoes a farmer, then he's one, all right.
You said he shouldn't be in town. He can't be very dangerous.
He's dangerous to himself.
Oh, what do you mean?
Why, he gets a doggone drunk every time he comes in here. He can't hardly climb back up on that old mare. And when he does, he usually falls off somewhere before he gets home and lays out there on the prairie all night like a dead man. It's a pure wonder he ain't been et by something.
Oh, Marshal, we've been hanging around this porch for 3 hours. I'm beginning to feel like a bum myself.
Now, that's part of the job, Egan. Keeping an eye on things, we call it.
Keeping an eye on things? You and Chester both are fighting to stay awake.
Are you calling it quits, Egan?
Oh, no. Of course not.
Then let's go get a cup of coffee, huh? It'll be dark soon, and we can start making the rounds.
What's the name of this place, Marshal?
It's called the Long Branch. Oh, here comes somebody you ought to know.
Evening, Mac.
Oh, Kitty.
How long you been sitting here?
No, not long. Kitty, this is Emmett Egan.
How do you do, Miss Kitty?
Mr. Egan?
Oh, sit down.
I hear you may be our new Marshal.
What? Now, how in the world...
Well, Chester was in a while ago. It's true, isn't it?
Well, it isn't exactly settled yet, Miss Kitty.
But you want the job?
Yes.
Why?
Well, let's say I was bored with what I was doing.
Sure. That's happened to a lot of ex-soldiers. They can't stand peacetime.
Me in particular, I guess.
Why don't you re-enlist? The cavalry keeps busy out here.
I tried that, Miss Kitty.
You did?
Back in 67.
67? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Cheyenne and the Sioux were real active that year, weren't they?
Yes, they were, but not where the cavalry was.
Wait a minute. Were you with General Hancock?
That's right, Marshal. We took to the field for 4 months. We marched and counter-marched all over this country, and then we returned to Fort Harker.
Well, what was wrong with that?
Well, all we did was burn one empty village, kill two young Cheyenne braves, both of whom we later found out were friendly. It took 1,100 men to do that.
Oh.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
I don't know for sure, but I hear there's some kind of trouble down at Moss Grimmick Stable.
Well, no. It's about time something happened around here.
Yeah. Now, don't forget, Egan, when it does, somebody usually dies. What's the trouble here, men? Where's Moss Grimmick, Chester?
Well, he ain't here, Mr. Dillon. They say Leonard Phibbs there is the one who knows about it.
Oh, Phibbs, a little sodbuster?
Yes, sir. Hey, Phibbs, come here.
What's going on here, Phibbs?
Inside, Marshal. Back there in the stall.
Oh, what's back there?
Bad, Marshal, real bad. Don't nobody go in there. It's real bad.
What is? Who's in there, Phibbs?
Not even you, Marshal. Not nobody. Leave him alone, I'm warning you.
Oh, he ain't got good sense, Mr. Dillon. No use talking to him.
It's real bad in there.
Yeah, something's got him scared half to death. I'm going to go take a look. You stay here, Chester.
I'm going with you, Marshal.
Look, Egan, I don't know what's in there. It could be a crazy man with a gun looking for blood. It could be anything.
Action is what I came here for, Marshal, and you said I could hang around.
All right, but you get out of the way if there's any shooting.
I'm not entirely a novice with a gun, Marshal.
No, but you're not a professional either. Now stay at least 10 paces behind me.
Right.
You see anything?
No. It's Marshal Dillon. Who's in here? Come on, speak up.
Maybe he's hiding, waiting for you.
Well, he can't see me any better than I can see him.
You're taking an awful chance, Marshal.
You stay where you are, Egan. What? What's this? Chester, bring a lantern.
All right, Egan.
What is it, Marshal?
Nothing we have to kill.
What do you mean?
You'll see when Chester brings the light.
Oh, he's coming.
What have you found, Mr. Dillon?
Hold the lantern over here, Chester.
Yes, you were. Oh, my goodness. Somebody's gone and hung a man.
So that's it. Poor devil. Was this a lynching, Marshal?
No, Egan, that's old Tom Sanders. He's been drunk for 20 years. Yeah, I guess he finally decided to break their habits. You won't get any action out of this. Well, Egan, it's been nearly a week. Enough excitement for you?
I must admit, Marshal, it's not quite what I'd expected. Somehow I had the idea Marshal was always busy doing things.
You mean gunfighting?
I've told you I don't think gunfighting's necessary.
Yeah, I remember.
Any man accustomed to command should be able to control these Dodge City ruffians without much trouble.
I only draw my gun as a last resort, Egan. And besides, you haven't seen any of these men in action yet.
I still want the job, Marshal.
Yeah, I know.
Matt?
Yeah, come on in, Doc.
Say, Matt, you'd better get over the Texas Trail.
Oh?
You know those fellas, Gear and Bozeman?
Yeah, I know.
Well, they've got that poor little Leonard Fibbs at the bar there, and they're trying to make him pay for their drinks. He's broke, of course, so they're beating him up. They're doing it real slowly, bit by bit. I tell you, it just makes you sick to watch.
All right, Doc.
Wait, Marshal.
Yeah, what?
Let me handle this.
Look, Egan, Gear and Bozeman may be a couple of bullies, but that doesn't mean they're not dangerous. They are.
Are you afraid I might be able to handle them, Marshal? Well?
Okay, go ahead. Here, take my badge. Tell them you're a deputy.
Thank you, Marshal.
You gotta learn one way or the other.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. A more perfectly packed cigarette gives you an open, easy draw that unlocks all the better taste and mildness of fine tobaccos. And Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, is more perfectly packed, with an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Remember, to the touch, to the taste.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Chester.
I knew you wouldn't leave Mr. Egan all alone.
Nobody will look for us coming in the back door. And let's move a little closer.
Egan's facing him, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Oh, look at poor little Bill. They got him all bloody.
What makes you think you can do this to a man? Is there no law where you come from?
We come from Dodge, Mr. Deputy. Where do you come from?
Are you Bozeman or Gear?
I'm Bozeman, Mr. Deputy. I'm the one who generally does the talking, but we both do the fighting.
You're out of order, Bozeman.
What's that?
I said you're out of order. I will not tolerate your insolence.
I'm not sure, Mr. Deputy. But are you saying you don't like this?
That's enough. You and Gear will turn and face the bar while I take your guns.
You're the most doggone foolish man I ever saw, Mr. Deputy.
Do as I say.
Why? Because you're wearing a badge?
That's reason enough.
Now, Mr. Deputy, that may be reason enough
for you. There'll be no shooting. I'm ordering you to face the bar.
I guess there's no use talking to you, Mr. Deputy. I'll take him along here.
He's going
to... Hold it, Bozeman! All right, that's enough.
Now, go ahead, Bozeman. Try it again.
Now, wait, Marshal.
You knew he couldn't handle a gun. You know I can, is that it?
Your gun against two of us?
Quit talking, Bozeman.
Don't try it, Gear.
All right, then do as my deputy told you. Face the bar.
Sure. Sure, Marshal.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
You want me to lock him up, Mr. Dillon?
Here are the guns, Chester. I'll be at Doc's. Maybe he can save Bozeman here from hanging. Yeah, it's getting light out, Doc.
It generally does this time of morning.
Yeah, but I'm not generally sitting up waiting for a man to die.
He isn't going to die, Matt.
I saw what that bullet did to him.
You feel guilty, don't you, Matt?
Wouldn't you, Doc?
Yes, I guess I would.
Doc?
Oh. What? Well, he's conscious. Well, how do you feel, Egan?
Pretty fair, Doc. I've been lying here, listening to you talk.
Oh, you mean you've been conscious for some time?
Half hour, maybe. I wanted to get my head clear.
Well, a few weeks in bed and it'll be clear now.
I guess I was lucky.
If that bullet had gone 1 inch to the left, you'd have died on the floor, Egan. You were lucky, all right.
God protects fools and drunkards, isn't it? Marshal Dillon.
Yeah.
I heard you saying you felt guilty about this. It wasn't your fault.
And I should have known what had happened.
But I heard you telling Doc how it happened. You faced them the same way I did. They didn't shoot you.
It's a little different with me, Egan.
How?
This is my profession.
I've handled enough men to be professional.
Egan, why do you think Bozeman did what I told him to do?
Because he knew you'd shoot if he didn't?
He not only knew I'd shoot, he knew I'd kill him. He knows I can handle a gun pretty well. And that part of the profession they don't teach in the Army. Takes years and years to learn.
Well, I can't complain any more about there not being enough action, can I, Marshal?
Yeah, your week's up today, Egan. You want the job?
Marshal, you ever been in California?
Not for some time.
I hear things are pretty active out there. I'll write you and tell you all about it.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips, Chesterfield, mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
You know, there were a lot of ways for death to come to a man on the frontier. All of them hard. But next week, a man meets death the hardest way of all. At the end of a rope. But that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were John Daner, James Nusser, and Harry Bartell. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Smokers, this is it. L&M filters. So good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Relax with L&M, so good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.